Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh my goodness, I'm not used to that. Sometimes I walk into my house from the garage, I'm going to kitchen. I say, hey, I'm home. If anybody ever responded, I'd turn around and run out of there. Anybody said, okay, I'm in the wrong house. I got to get out of here. Yeah, man. I got something in the garage. If anything happened, run there and check it out. Now, maybe it's a lady's voice I wouldn't get, but it's some guy. Okay! Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. We are into the kind of the Christmas music time, and so let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to our study. Let's pray. What a joy it is to worship you, Heavenly Father. What a joy it is to worship you with others, to sing, to pray, to give, to open the scriptures together, to encourage one another, to enjoy others who are going through the same issues and same attacks, and just know, Heavenly Father, that others are like-minded. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, and the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin with some.
Children is praises. One day when Samuel was just like.
Did the stone need to be rolled away for him to come out of the grave? Good, okay. Elementary, elementary. Yeah, class dismissed. No, that'd be the Resurrection Sunday. Okay. A lot of little fun announcements here, and then we'll get to prayer. Let's see. First of all, next Sunday, first Sunday in December, we will have communion, and then we will fellowship together. The menu is Italian, spaghetti and a meatball, or spaghetti and meat sauce. I mean, we're not particular here. Ravioli, lasagna, pizza. Well, I'm hungry. Garlic bread. Ooh, lots of garlic bread. And breadsticks. And Caesar salad. Fudge and cookies. Is that Italian? Fudge and cookies? That is? Okay. All right. Fudge is everybody. So that's good. And next Sunday, John Hintz will be here teaching. So that'll be a lot of fun. He's going to come in Saturday and teach here Sunday morning. And then Sunday afternoon, Dan Hill will be coming in. And another gentleman staying in my house. And we're going to a pre-rapture conference. So there'll be no class the first Tuesday and Wednesday of December. There'll be class the second Tuesday, Wednesday. So we'll have class this Tuesday, Wednesday, just so there's no misunderstanding. But then the following week, no class. And so I'm looking forward to being with Dan and John, and that'll be a lot of fun. Let's see. Oh, sign up. It's time for volunteers, and we can't afford a full-time staff. So we have cleaning and a very important donuts, and got to arrive 20 minutes early so that Wes and I can have our donuts. So this is back there. Please read it over. Sign up here. And oh my goodness, you even have the communion menu. Boy, let's see. In January, that'll be finger foods, then Mexican, then Italian again, Thanksgiving theme, Mexican theme, picnic theme, American theme, sandwich theme, picnic theme, harvest time. Wow, this is going to be good, man. Got a lot of good eating to do. So this will be in the back to volunteer to help us in the cleaning weekly, and the donuts on Sunday. So that'll be good. But next Sunday is Italian. Okay, let's talk about prayer.
May I say something?
Certainly.
I brought the Christmas tree, the church Christmas tree.
This isn't it?
No.
Okay. Well, we have really come down.
And the only thing is that we didn't find the ornaments over there in the storage. So I thought if everybody could bring an ornament, you know, then we could just stick them on.
Oh, that'd be fun. All right, bring your fun ornament. Make it church agreeable.
Yeah.
Church friendly.
We'll set the tree up today.
And then during communion next Sunday, we can all put them on.
Oh, wow, that'd be fun. My goodness, that's cool.
And sing Christmas carols.
If we have Monk putting on the icicles, it won't get much done. Put it on very carefully. All right. So, please bring, if you can, some ornament next Sunday, and we'll put them on, and that'll be fun. Start an ornament tradition. All right. That'd be good. Okay. Listen, y'all going to put the tree up today?
Yeah, we'll.
Oh, okay. All right.
Do you need lights? Because I have extra lights.
I think there's lights on it.
Oh, is it pre-registered?
You think there is? Okay.
Oh, well, there's lights on it if they work. I haven't plugged them in.
Okay.
If they work. They're on. They have lights there.
Yeah. All right. I used to not put up a tree, and I don't know. I'm living alone. But years ago, Jerry and Rick would come over and string red lights all in my living room and dining room area. Remember when Jerry would come over and Rick would come over and do that? That was cool. I don't even do that anymore. Bah, humbug. Okay. Oh. But I have, over 500 ornaments in the attic. Over 500. I have Hallmark when Hallmark first started in the early 70s. And
we don't need to bring it back to us.
I have all the Coca-Cola animated and Esco, Carlton, and I don't do it anymore, but I did it for a while. So my attic is a little treasure, I guarantee you. And it's also a junk pile, but it's also a little treasure. So, okay, let's talk about prayer. And we need to continue to be in prayer for Tish as she continues to fight cancer. We need to be in prayer for Eve as she continues to get better. And we just give praise about your son and grandchild. That's just wonderful. The granddaughter's full gear now. Yeah, okay, that's good. All right. They mend quickly. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Nathan leaves Tuesday for Fort Stewart.
He leaves Tuesday. Has he been home that long already? Wow.
He's supposed to be here this morning. I left him about half awake, and he said he'd be here.
Oh, half awake isn't going to do it, Mom. Half awake is not going to do it. It's got to be over full awake. Water and everything. So, all right, well, he leaves Tuesday. All right. And what will he be doing?
He will be in a Bradley. Or he'll be in a Striker.
Okay.
And he leaves for Afghanistan. They said anywhere from 25 to 90 days.
Okay. He's 25. Wow. Okay. Depends on how things go, whether they need him
depends
over there. Wow.
Good
and with his expertise, they may need him because he's good. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Lee, yes.
And we have a prayer of Thanksgiving. Amber's friend, Jason Burden, who was deployed in Iraq, made it back on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, wow. Thanksgiving Day. Wow,
yeah,
cool.
I haven't seen him yet, but he called us all yesterday, so we'll see him
soon. Wow, very good.
Yeah.
All right. How's Amber doing?
She's doing good.
Good.
She's still asleep.
She what?
She's still asleep.
So we have two people we need to be in prayer.
Yeah.
Two people who are sacrilegious.
Come Wednesday morning, Nathan will be up at 4. Come Wednesday morning.
Okay.
He won't have a choice.
You know what a sacrilegious person is? That person lies in bed and watches it on TV. That's a sacrilegious person. So, okay. We need to be in prayer of Thanksgiving. And Ann Amber and Nathan. Any other prayer requests? Okay. All right. Judith has a friend, Sharon, who is dying of cancer is just an honest way to word it. Sharon's just dying of cancer. And so we need to be in prayer that God's will be done in her life. Okay, for kind of your, all of you who pray, I'm going to be in prayer for this church. It's outreach in 09, that we will continue to have an outreach to the unbeliever, the gospel for the unbeliever, and the gospel for the believer. Please be in prayer for Dan and John's church. And I know there are other churches that teach the truth. I know that. I just don't know them. But there's got to be others who have the... I know there are others who have the truth on the gospel for the unbeliever. As far as the gospel for the believer, I just don't know. And I'm sure there are others that do teach that spirituality is by faith, just as our salvation is by faith. And but we do know Dan and John... And so we need to be in prayer for them. Let's be in prayer for the Risleys and their 09 year of ministry and outreach. Just unbelievable family. The Summers, she's finishing her medical. She's finished med school, so she's doing her internship about a year. And then she can go wherever she wants with her parents and to villages and be a doctor, missionary. And their son be a pilot for missionaries, and the other one's going to be a nurse, and it's just amazing how they all serve in Mexico. Then the outreach of Dan's ministry in Africa, and continue to serve and witness to others in Africa. So we just need to be in prayer for them. Okay. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give. Not, yes. All right. Is Anne a very elderly person?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I would suspect probably middle age or older.
Yeah. Well, Christ died for her, and so we need to be in prayer that before she goes, that God will open up her soul and to be responsive to the gospel. And it's always tough when we're believers and our parents are not. I can only imagine how it would be with being a parent and have a child, not, and two close bonds in life. But Christ came to divide. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, which are of necessity. Necessity means that the church tells you you got to tithe, you got to do this, and you got to give. Grudgingly means I really don't want to give this money, but I know I got to for God to bless me. And but I really don't want to do this. And people don't do that with God. There are so many people that believe you got to tithe in order for God to bless, you got to give in order to God to bless, and all this type of thing. Don't do that to God. Don't have that view of God. And it's a corrupt, distorted view of God, that he's that kind of a God. He's just a sugar daddy up there. Treat him good, respond, boy, and he'll do good for you and all this type of thing. Don't do that to God. We give under the leading of the Spirit by faith, and as the Lord prospers, the leading of the Spirit, we give as unto the Lord. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to live in a free environment, in an economic environment, Father, where in a political environment where we can earn a profit and have the freedom to do with our profit whatever we desire. The military has provided this political economic freedom that we do enjoy, has sustained it, protected it. We're very thankful for the men and women who have served in our military throughout the history of this country, right up to this very hour, where many are in harm's way. But Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. For it is in this sphere of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political, economic freedom, what to do with our time and our money. Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them and use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Okay, we're in a section of Scripture that deals with the judgment of God, day of wrath. When you think about religion, whoever their deity, power, be it the Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists, they deal with the fact that something's going to happen after life. And all these religions have come up with the various solutions and direction. And they all center around man doing, because that's, man wants to be a part. And that's even part of the distortion under the Christian umbrella, is a distortion of the gospel based upon, I want to be a part of the equation. I want to do something to, for God to do for me. And we know that not only America, but the whole world, it's in trouble. And there are so many different people from different perspectives, political, economic, history, religious, spiritual, whatever. Things are going to get rough. There are a lot of people talking about blood in the streets in America, revolution in America. And people, we cannot think, we're being very naive. If we think, oh, America, this won't happen in America. Being very naive. We've already had one blood in the streets war, and it was disastrous. All you have to do is visit the battlefields and the cemeteries of the war between the states. And it was ugly. Broke families, states, the whole deal. And that we are not susceptible to a revolution like the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, you're just naive. And it's going to get dangerous. And things are in play that we can see getting ready for it. One of the main things that has to be done is to disarm the citizens. Take away the guns. And they're talking about how to do that and put the markings on the shells and ammo, and these are not accidental things. It's like we saw the removal of the Bible from the Supreme Court, from the judicial system, the removal of the Bible from the educational system, removal of the Bible from the church, and we just sat around and did nothing. Don't just sit back and say, oh well, this doesn't mean anything. Yes, it does. If you want to disarm your people, that there's a reason for that. You've got some philosophical, historical reason for wanting to disarm a people. And historically, disarming the people is the first step. before there's revolution. And, but you know, we could do all this in the political realm, but for a long time, the real danger and the real problem, and I've said this so many times, it's been in the church. We have sat Christianity and listened to false gospel. You've got to do this to be saved. They're wonderful people. They're moral people. They're wonderful citizens, and they all look so nice when they go to church. And the big churches, small churches, false gospel. You've got to do this to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to have God forgive you of your sins. It wasn't done at the cross, so you've got to do it again and again. He's got to continually forgive you. People, these are false. They're evil. And what we're experiencing politically and economically is not separated from this. It's not separated. And we have just been very complacent with, oh, they're nice, and Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, and these people, and those, and everybody's so nice and wonderful. False gospel. False teachers. False. I ought to be filled with the Spirit. You got to confess. To be filled with the Spirit, you got to repent. To be filled with the Spirit, you got to go sit in a corner if you've committed some horrible sin. All kinds of this evil, false teaching. Why are we where we are in our country? It's not a surprise. It's not a surprise. And if you study Revelation with us, during the tribulation, the body of Christ, if we can call it that, during the tribulational period, those who believe in the Messiah of Jesus Christ, very small number. Very small number. And it's growing smaller in the world, in America especially. Those who believe in Jesus. And there's movements to ban him. Ban the Bible. Don't talk about the Bible. You can't use the Bible. You can use almost any other book, but don't you go quoting from the Bible. You can quote from the Quran. You can quote from Shakespeare. You can quote from Aristotle. Don't you go quoting from the Bible. We can't have that. And we're in trouble spiritually. And Paul, in Romans 2, is dealing with that day of wrath and what we have to do. And how man has his way from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the root of all of this, it's this work system that's going on in the church under the umbrella of Christianity and in heathenistic religions. It's man doing. Man doing something. And the voice that says, no, it's just faith in Christ, is a dim voice and a dim light. Let's prepare ourselves for our study. In prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to open the Scriptures. We know this is dangerous. We know if we do this in the flesh, we'll see whatever we want to see. There's no other place than we become so aware of our need of the Holy Spirit. Than when we open this book. Yes, we see it when we try to love as Christ loved. That'd be the second. The most dangerous area is to open this book and see it from flesh. So, Father, we trust your Spirit now to open our eyes to the truth of Paul's words here and dealing with these two sets of people. And then the third in chapter 2. We will not read into, but allow your Spirit to open our eyes to what's here. Father, we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's read verses 5 through 7, but note the end of verse 3 by way of introduction to 5 through 7, that you will escape the judgment of God. This is what religion's about. Man knows, and we know from chapter 1 that this is by creation. God puts it in. We know this is not it. And some of us say, thank God that this isn't it. That after death, after the death of our physical body, there's life. There's a lot more to be going on. And it's not just the Christians that understand this, people. God has put this in all people. That's why you have the Hindus. It's why you have the Muslims. It's why you have the Buddhists. It's why you have all... They know! They've just rejected the true God at God consciousness. Or they've rejected the gospel at gospel hearing. And when you reject the truth, you believe a lie. And you have no defense against the lie. So this is what's going on. Now, Paul moves in verses 5 through 7. But because of your stubbornness... Now remember verse 4, he's holding back the judgment. So, how are we going to use that time of holding back the judgment? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath, there's that wrath again, for yourself in the day of wrath, there's that judgment again, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6. Who, God, who, and we know that's Jesus Christ now, we studied that last week, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And this verse and this section is one of the greatest passages used for salvation by works. Is this what it sounds like? To those, on the one hand, who by perseverance in doing good, and we remember this is not doing good, it's not a verb. It's not a verb. Seek for glory and honor, immortality, they will receive eternal life. Okay, now, misunderstanding of these verses that we're looking at continues, and false doctrine of salvation by works, and people, it comes from verses just like the ones we're looking at. And as I did when we first started this section, you read this section and how could you come out with anything but salvation by works? That's why we need to understand what Paul is doing and why Paul develops it the way he does. The salvation is by doing good, moral deeds, and not just the doing good works, but persevering in the good works. That's what it talks about. Who persevere in the good works. Giving rise to another false doctrine. When you start out with false doctrine and salvation, you're just going to have a whole lot of false doctrines. It's going to build. That's why it's so important a person understands correctly how to be saved by grace through faith and faith only and Christ only to help them, guide them from false teaching afterward. If you correctly understand the gospel and you go into a church or you're listening to someone or you're listening to the radio or TV or whatever and they say you got to do this to be filled with the Spirit, wait a minute. That is not in accordance with how I was saved. It's what Paul does in Galatians chapter 3. By works of the law? Are you so foolish? And the word foolish there is non-thinking. He's chewing them out of you, stupid. The word foolish does not mean stupid. It means you're non-thinking. Are you not thinking this thing clearly? If you're saved by grace through faith, why would you be filled with the Spirit, which is a form of salvation out of sin, by anything other than grace through faith? If you're saved by grace through faith and you're restored by grace through faith, why would you be blessed by anything you did? Just you're not thinking this thing clearly, is what Paul is saying in the Galatians passage. So here is the false doctrine, no eternal security. And loss of salvation. You don't know if you are saved until after you died. Salvation is not by faith in Christ alone, but salvation is by your works, joining our denomination, involving some ritual like water baptism, and certainly by morality, and by doing good deeds in church, giving, praying, witnessing, and so on. You don't know if you're really saved. And if you don't keep it up, you lose it. And we've been studying on Tuesday night the judgment seat of Christ and persevering and these are words that are constant, and at least a false teaching, because preachers don't want to study the Bible. They read it and that's it. They don't study it. They don't allow the Spirit to open their eyes. Most preachers look at it from the academic mind. And there goes the false teaching. Salvation, eternal life, eternal security, loss of salvation, all these things. What kind of God is that, people? Think about a God where I could lose my salvation. I've always felt so sorry for a woman whose husband or children, whose parents, you got to perform, and if you don't perform, this marriage, boy, that, man, that's horrible. Hey, hon, you're stuck with me. Through thick and thin, you're stuck. There's no getting out. Now, that's something you can stay with. But, boy, this can be over, and that can be over. You got to perform, and all this. What kind of God do you have that you can lose your salvation? Not only what kind of gospel do you have, not only what kind of crosswork do you have, but what kind of God do you have that would do that? Okay, you have to work your way into heaven. And you do not know if you've done enough to be saved until after you die. Oh, I made it. How horrible. That's just not the teaching that goes in the Bible. As we enter this verse, we know that this is not true, salvation by works. It's not the gospel that Paul teaches. Let's look at Galatians chapter, and I got it on the board for you, Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I do not nullify the grace of God. In other words, I do not cancel it out. For if righteousness, which is going to be the basis of the judgment, if righteousness comes through the law, through performance, any performance standard, then Christ died needlessly. This is as clear as we can get. Now, but people come along, oh no, you got to work. You got to work to be righteous. You got to work to be good. And here he clearly says, then Christ died needlessly. Even if it's part. See, people want to say, well, this is part of the gospel, works, and believe in Christ. No, then Christ died needlessly. It can't be works and believe in Christ. My favorite analogy of that is, no, honey, I'm sorry. Walking down the aisle, you don't get to bring your lover. Who's this guy with you? Well, that's my lover. Well, then you don't want to marry me. That's what Christ... No, you don't get to bring your works. You don't get to bring your performance. You don't get to bring this other lover of yours. It's either me or him. And this is what Paul is saying in the Galatians passage. Okay. To those who by perseverance. First of all, the Greek... Well, let me see if I got it on here. First of all, the Greek construction joins verses 7 and 8 by the phrase, on the one hand. I won't put the Greek up there and all that, but the Greek translation should be on the one hand, and then verse 8, on the other hand. That is in the original text. On the one hand, in contrast with each other. But what is it that separates the two? What is it that puts them in contrast? Verse 7, to those on the one hand. Now remember where we're coming from. Verse 6, he renders. Now, to those on the one hand, this refers to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Those, on the one hand, who by perseverance. Okay, the King James, I'm going to just have fun with you and help you think this thing. The NASB says, those on the one hand, who by perseverance. The King James says, patient continuance. The NIV says, persistence. So we have perseverance, patient continuance, and persistence. Three different ways that three different group of scholars translated the Greek. Perseverance, patient continuance, by... Now the Greek is hupomone. Now we've had this word before. It means to persevere. A bearing up under. Even expectation. Patience. Endurance. As to circumstances or things, in contrast with macrothumia, which is long suffering or endurance in regard to people. For an example, 1 Corinthians 13, love, agape, spiritual love, is macrothumia, long suffering in regard to people. That's what spiritual love is. You don't have spiritual love involved in enduring circumstances or things. My mother used to always get mad. We'd sit down at the table. Oh, I love this food. You don't love food. You love people. Okay, I really like this food. But so you have long suffering is endured in regard to people. But our word is involved with things and circumstances, things like that. Used in a spiritual love, well, there it is, love is long-suffering. To those who by perseverance, okay, in what? In expectation of what? So we have our word perseverance. So what is it in expectation of? In doing good. Okay, the problem. And I'm really sorry. I don't know how this happened. The King James, the NASV, King James, NIV, all translate this as a verb. Doing good. I didn't look up any others. I'm sure other translations have it the same way. Namely, as a participle, doing. And the problem is that this is not even a verb. It's not a participle. It's not even a verb. And this problem really begins the problem in correctly understanding this verse, this whole passage. If I translate this as doing good, then you're going to miss the whole point. Let's first of all take the anarthros. Now that is a 50-cent word that simply means without the definite article. That A in the front of this word means without. Without the definite article. We have a descriptive adjective, agathos. Describing that which is good, that which is profitable. Profitable. Profitable means profitable with some objective in mind. Useful with some objective in mind. An automobile is not useful if I want to cross the lake. So for it to be profitable or useful, it has to be something that's going to meet the need that is there. Good, an intrinsic value. Okay. Plus, the anarthros, now means without, a different article, and that emphasizes the quality. The noun ergon, which is translated work. Performance, it's in the singular. And the singular is used in contrast with the plural of verse 6. According, look at verse 6. According to their deeds, his deeds. Here in verse 7, it's in the singular. It's a singular concept, okay? To those who, on the one hand, by or according to perseverance of good work or good deed. Okay, what is that good work? That's our question. That's our question. What's the good work? Because if I read this, then that's why you have different denominations and different movements. What we say you have to do. What we say is defined as good. So what is the good work? Okay. There is so much evidence in Paul's writing, own writing, teaching, that salvation is not by works. Tell him I'm busy. Oh, I'm working. All right. Not by works. Not by deeds of the flesh, but by faith alone, in Christ alone. There is so much evidence. Okay. Romans 2:15. Let's take a look at it. Romans 2:15. You're right there in the same passage. In that day, or in that, they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing. Well, that's not what I wanted. Maybe it's 2:16. And that day, according to my gospel, so it's my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Okay? Let's continue our little journey. Look at Romans 3:20. I didn't want to put these on the board. I want you just to use your own Bible so that you see it and know where it is on the page. 3:20. Because by the works of the law, now that would be deeds, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. That's as clear as you can make it. By no works of the flesh. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin, which brings death. So you have the law to show, oh, I'm good enough. Oh, yeah, well, let's go through all of these. Let's go through 1,400 laws. And let's start with the Big Ten. See how you fare out on that. If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. Let's look at 3, 27 and 28. 3, 27 and 28. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Now what's boasting? Boasting simply means, I have to do this for God to save me. That's a boast. I have to do this. I have to be moral. I have to be good. I have to give. I have to witness. I have to give a tithe. I have to do these things. Okay. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. When it's by grace through faith, people, there's no room for boasting. By what kind of law? Of works? No. But by a law of faith. Okay, let's look at 4:2. Chapter 4, verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, ergon, it's our same word, he has something to boast about, but not before God. That's something to boast about before man. And see, that's part of our problem. What I was saying at the beginning, we're very happy that this church down here, everybody, they're moral and they're wonderful. They contribute to society. They dress nicely. They sing and all that. Don't worry that they're not getting the right gospel. Don't worry that they have a false teacher who has distorted the very gospel of salvation and of spirituality. Let's just be happy they're nice. Well, people, this is going to finally permeate down into society because the false gospel is not going to sustain. It's not going to sustain. Okay, so 4:2. For if Abraham justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Look at verse 6 in chapter 4. Just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. So he's taken for his Jewish readers, two of their big names, Abraham, David. How did they get in? It wasn't by the law. Abraham didn't even have the law. David, the law was given his time. Neither one of them. That's why he picked those two. One before the law was given, salvation by grace through faith. One after the law was given, David, salvation by grace through faith. Now let's look at Romans chapter 9, verse 32. Verse 31. Well, let's just start at verse 30. This is where the sentence starts. What shall we say then? That Gentiles, non-Jews, who did not pursue righteousness, attained righteousness. They did not pursue it by being good and all, but they obtained it. Even the righteousness which is by faith. The object, of course, is Jesus Christ. But Israel, the Jews, pursuing a law of righteousness, in other words, trying to get righteous by doing the law, did not arrive at that law. Why? Here's our verse. Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. Ergon. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Okay, let's go to Galatians. We're not going to all the passages. I'm just picking out some of the biggie, the big guns. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2:16. Verse 15 begins a sentence. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. It's those who were Jewish background. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, be he Jew or Gentile, but through faith in Christ Jesus. People, I don't know how you can make it any more clear than that. But how many preachers, false teachers, and people believe you got to be good to be saved. Even we have believed even we Jews, have believed in Christ Jesus. Why? In order that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And of course, verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. And one more passage in Galatians is Galatians 3:10. Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. What this is saying is, you break one of those, you're guilty of all. Oh, I would never steal. You ever have anger? Well, yeah, you stole. I would never do. You're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. I would never commit adultery. Ever stolen? Oh, paperclip. Well, you're guilty of all. You're guilty of all. You don't want under the law, people. You don't want to deal with God on the basis of works. You just don't want to. Let's look at Ephesians, of course, 2:8 and 9, the classics. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace, I'll give you time to find it, very important. For by grace, and of course, you know what? To most of us here, we read that and we go, ah, yes. But do you know a lot of people? They don't understand what grace is. They're right there, they follow up, because to them, grace, if I do this and God saves, that's grace. No, that's not grace. You got to correctly understand your terms. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. In other words, no works, no doing good. It is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Well, the grace is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Okay. Now, so since we are not saved by works, deeds, what is referred to in Romans 2:7, good work? What is that? It's faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, well, you know what? You can say that. And just like I said, preachers say all kinds of stuff. Can I show you that? It's nice to say the truth, but can I show you that in the text? Every man's responsible for what he teaches. I say that the good work is faith in Christ. This preacher says the good work is keeping the law, doing good, being moral, going to church, being baptized, doing this, doing that. Can I show you? Is there somewhere in the text? Yes, there is. Gospel of John? Well, let's see. Gospel of John, did I not put it on? Yeah, Gospel of John, chapter 6. Verses 26 through 29. Okay, let's turn to that. I thought I had it up on the board here, but I don't. So, let's turn to it. Gospel of John, chapter 6. Let's see if we have grounds to say that the good work is faith in Jesus Christ. Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we're going to start reading in verse 26. 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, now he's talking to a Jewish crowd, truly, truly, I say to you, truly, truly means concentrate, this is the bottom line, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and we're filled. All you have to do is promise the masses we'll feed you, we'll take care of you. As a government, presidential platform, and people will vote. people will vote for you. Verse 27 now. Do not work for the food which perishes. Wow. But for the food which endures to eternal life. See there, he's telling you, you got to work. He's telling you, you got to work for eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For on Him, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Father, even God, has set His seal. Well, that pricked up their ears. They said, therefore, to Him, and look how many times is the idea of works recurred, this one phrase. What shall we do, that we may work the works of God? Three times in that one little sentence. I think that's, I don't know if I could have done that. Put in something about work three times in one short sentence. Boy, they did it because they're thinking about works. What shall we do, it's by us doing, that we may work, I have to do it, the works required by God. Now verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, required by God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. That's the work of God. Faith. The work of God. The work of God, the work that God is looking for, the work that pleases Him, is that we believe in the one He sent. For salvation one, whom did He send? Jesus Christ. For salvation two, whom did He send? Holy Spirit. It's by faith. It's very beautiful, consistent faith. Okay, now we go back to verse 7 of Romans 2. To those, on the one hand, to those, according to perseverance in good work. Okay. They stand fast on the work of Christ on the cross. They offer to God as their deed by which to be judged the good work of Christ and their faith in Him. That's what we offer. That's all we have to offer. People, this is this story. Romans 2 was from the very beginning. Cain offered God his best, his work. He didn't offer him rotten tomatoes. He offered him the very best. This is what I've done. I offer to you because I respect who you are. Abel says, I have nothing to offer you. This lamb is yours. I didn't do anything to it. It's all you're doing. I offered you based on the coming Messiah. This gospel has been clear all the way through. We saw it with the study of Job even. Remember how all the animals were taken off and killed, and they were, the Red Raiders came in and got them and all. There was one group of animals that the fire of God came down and took care of. What group was that? The sheep. The sheep. All the other animals of Job in chapter 1 were taken away. The enemy came in, the raiders came in and took them all off, all his cattle, all the animals he had, not the sheep. Fire from God came down, took them. The gospel's always been there for those that want to see it. The false gospel has always been there if you don't want to see the truth. Okay, seek for glory and honor and immortality, and the eternal life, actually the eternal life should be rendered eternal life. But we'll work through that as we go through chapter verse 7. Seek. Okay, present active participle is a tell means to seek after. People, this is what, as I'm trying to say, this is what all these religions are trying to seek after. Even the Hindus talk about after dying. And the Buddhists, after dying. The Muslims, after dying. What do you do that's going to have an impact on that? Now, right there in the Quran, it's very interesting to me. They call what happened in India the radical Muslims. People, let me explain something to you. They're all that way. They just are not all in that position. That's part of their Quran, to kill infidels, Christians and Jews. This isn't radical. It's in their Quran. And if anything breaks in America, blank on it. That nice, sweet Muslim neighbor is going to kill. Don't be misled by this stuff. Oh, they're just the radicals. The Muslims really are wonderful people. No, they're not. Their Bible, kill infidels, gives you a better place in heaven, in their afterlife. The more you kill, the better is your afterlife. So all of these people, all these religions, and I'll just name some big ones, but all these religions on the earth and many that come under the Christian umbrella all deal with this fact of seeking. Seeking eternal life. Now, some people are too sophisticated, like in America, we get, so I just forget the whole thing. I'm not going to go to heaven, and I'm a bum, and I'm going to stay a bum, and all this kind of thing. But, in effect, we all have this thing. We all know after death, it's not over. Seeking. Okay, that's a very important word. It determines what you're going to go after. How you understand God is how you're going to seek Him. We're all seeking something, and each of us are responsible for what we are seeking. Every one of us seeks something. What we want to seek is up to you, how you seek it. Some seek security, and I mean economic security, which is a farce, and I think you can know that just by what's happened since September in our own country, how people have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars and just without even a really big stock market crash yet. It didn't take much of security we claim we have. It don't take much for it to be gone. Not much at all. Happiness. That's in our Constitution, pursuit of happiness. Good health. What? Good health? How? How do you seek good health? Sitting on the couch, drinking beer and Coke, ain't going to get it. Ain't going to get it. So, if we seek, how do we seek? Fun. Pleasure. What you seek is your own responsibility. That's in our Constitution. But in context, what are we seeking? Man seeks to escape the judgment of God. Verse 3. That's what man seeks to escape. The judgment of God. Man seeks eternal life, salvation. Man seeks to be righteous before God, by God. Now, these are primarily those under the Christian umbrella who have a distorted gospel. Let's look at this word and just stay with Paul. Romans 9, 30 and 33. Let's take a look. Romans 9, 30 and 33. Just stay with our word. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Romans 9, 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles, in contrast with Jews, but both are unbelievers here. There are two classes of people in this respect, Jew and Gentile. Two classes of people in another respect, believer and unbeliever, which breaks down the Jew and the Gentile barrier, as Ephesians talks about. Okay. The Gentiles, who did not pursue righteousness, basis of justification, attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why not? Why didn't they? Paul's just talking here. It's beautiful. I love the way Paul writes here. Because they did not pursue it. Seek it. That's our word. They did not seek it. They did not seek righteousness by faith. But as though it were acquired, gained by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Who's the stumbling stone? Jesus Christ. Verse, and that comes from their background. You know what a stumbling stone is. Stumbling stone, you're building, say, a house or something, and you got the stones being brought up by the masonry, and they bring them up, and they got them, and then all of a sudden, you see this funny-looking stone. and you go, boy, they've been nipping when they made this one. Put it aside. Put it aside. And then pretty soon they look, you know what? There's one stone there on the corner base. Hey, that's that one that we put over in the field. That's the cornerstone to the whole thing. But we rejected it. So that's the stoning. So the stoning stone. Now verse 33. Just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Going to read verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking, there's our word, to establish their own by works of the law, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. How do we subject ourselves to the righteousness of God? By faith only. That's the only way. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. One more passage. Galatians 2:17. Let's look at Galatians 2:17. Galatians 2:17. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, by faith in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. But what I want to look at here is seeking to be justified, how? In Christ. Okay, let's quickly go back to Romans chapter 2, verse 7. To those on the one hand, according to perseverance and good work, that's the good work of faith, Jesus Christ, his work on the cross, seek, that's the goal, that's the objective, for glory and honor and immortality are going to be rendered eternal life. It's the correct way of understanding the verse. The eternal life doesn't mean for glory and honor and immortality. Seek and for glory and honor. They're going to be rendered eternal life because of their seeking it through the good work of Christ. Okay. Now, for glory. Let's see if we can... We wouldn't be able to finish this up, and I was hoping to get through it verse 7. I must have preached. Did I preach? Oh, man. Well, I wanted to finish verse 7 this morning, and then because we'll have next week with John, but we can take this part and get through it next two Sundays from now. Next Sunday, John Hens. Next Sunday, communion. Any question on the parent first reading confusion of the English and what Paul is doing, what Paul is saying? Like I said, I want everyone here to be able just to sit down with your Bibles and be able to talk someone through this without finagling the scriptures or twisting it or saying it's deep theology or you got to know the nth degree of Greek and you got to know. No, I want you to be able to sit down, walk your way through this. If you can't, then I haven't done my job. I've just blabbled. But if you can just take someone through these verses, and that's what I've already told you I was going to tell you. Now I'm telling you. Now I'll tell you what I told you. And I'm going to ask you. Is there anyone that would have trouble walking through this with somebody at work, in your social life, or wherever? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have revealed yourself to us. What kind of God you are. You're not this God we need to fear, tremble, worry about every time we may sin or fail. You're God of grace and of love and of compassion and of mercy. You saw our state since the fall, incapable of any righteousness coming from us. Even our righteousness is filthy. Separated from you, damned to be separated from you for all eternity. And out of your love, and out of your compassion, and out of your mercy, you provided a way where we could be declared righteous outside of ourselves, just by faith in your Son. This is the gospel. Father, we are so thankful that you've made it so easy. And following that pattern in our life, so easy to be restored from sin by grace through faith. So easy to receive blessings in life by grace through faith. No fear of eternity. Very confident of our eternal life, resurrected body. We can even be confident of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. What an awesome God you are. That no matter what happens in our society, there's peace in our soul. There's joy inside. And we can enjoy our lives. Pray, Father, you take the things we've seen now and let all these verses we looked at just solidify this truth, giving us this peace, that we will be eager when the opportunity comes to tell others of faith in Christ and faith alone for salvation. We praise you, your Son's precious name. Amen.